Friends, I've entitled the meditation for today, All Creatures Great and Small. We've kind of promoted this day as pets and people. And there was an intentionality in the order of those because we often exalt ourselves and the pets are just added on. And I wanted the focus to be on God's gracious gift to us of those animals that have had and have a special place in our lives. Now, I want to begin with a question. How many of you have ever had a pet? Well, we're in this together, folks. That was quite unanimous. Now, I have to tell you, there is no reference to pets in the Bible. However, two of the most loved images in the scriptures include animals. I refer to Psalm 23, of which we sang a paraphrase this morning, and the message of John 10, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Those are powerful images of the graciousness of God's love and his redeeming grace. And they lie behind all that we, in a way, will think and talk about today. I want us to reflect on the relationship of humans and animals in God's creation. Carol read a passage from Genesis chapter 1. Which in a very, very brief, summarily way, talks about God as the creator and the former of life. And that's so much more wonderful than we might catch just from those words alone. Because as the creator, God has brought this whole intricate universe into being. In fact, you know, we think ourselves as human beings pretty smart, but actually all the time we're just, in a way, scratching the surface of the majesty and the magnificence of the Lord's creation. We understand some things, and then we discover that there are lots of things we don't yet really understand. But when we discover new things, the thing that impresses us most often is the way in which they interlock together. And we see the wisdom and the power of the Lord's hand as creator. And of course, all this creation that the Lord had made and sustains each day is wrapped up in beauty and wonder. Which one of us has not stopped to kind of catch our breath at the beauty of a sunset? Doesn't seem like it's a beauty that's necessary to the sun going down. But it's the character of God's creation that it is wonderful in every aspect. And this complexity of God's creation is something that we should marvel on and offer thanks for. Now this morning I propose to do things just slightly differently. I intend, at points along the way, to pause for just a very brief prayer of thanksgiving. And so, let us pause in prayer. Lord, thank you for the beauty and the wonder of your creation, and of all the majesty of your created order, and all the things that confound and amaze us. Lord, we thank you and desire to honor your name always. Amen. You know, as human beings, we sometimes think of ourselves as on top of the scale of being. And God has given us a significant and important responsibility within his creation to act on his behalf and to fulfill his purposes in the created order. But lest that all go to our heads, we need to be reminded sometimes of the amazing capacities of other creatures that far exceed our own. Let me throw out just a couple of examples here. And these are just things that, you can read by doing any little search on the internet. I mention them just because they seem to capture something. The idea that a hawk can see from 20 feet what you can see from 5. Now, this one stuns me, and I must say, I have difficulty even knowing it can be true, but I have no reason to doubt the person who set it down, that a falcon can see a 10-centimeter object from 1.5 kilometers. Back off for 1.5 kilometers and tell me what you see. Actually, that's bigger than 10 centimeters. Astounding. The eye of a fly has 3,000 lenses. You look at that small little creature and you say, where's there space for 3,000 things? An ant can carry 10 to 50 times its own body weight. And we think we're powerful. A greyhound can run up to 70 kilometers an hour. Isn't that amazing? This is God's handiwork. And as I say, this is a handiwork for which we have been given a certain responsibility to care for it, to nurture it, to use it in ways that help it to be what God intended it to be. Animals have things like a sense of smell that far exceeds ours, mostly. I mean, I have a cat that take out a piece of cheese and he comes from the other end of the house. I don't have any credentials on quite what that measures on any sense of scale, but I know he does a whole lot better than I do. And you see, in the midst of all this, we're constantly reminded that our dependence as human beings rests on plants and animals. If they weren't part of God's creation, we wouldn't survive. Isn't it astounding what the Lord has done? And so we'll say thank you. Lord, we offer thanks for the glory of your creation. We ask that you would help us to explore and learn more about the wonders that you have brought into being. And as we do so, that you will give us hearts and lips eager to praise you and celebrate your name. Amen. Now, in the course of human history, by God's design, a relationship was built between humans and animals. And this is something that we know from human history has evolved over a period of time. It was that process that we sometimes first speak of as animals being domesticated. I mean, the creation account speaks of the wild animals, but then some of those wild animals gradually came, as God intended, into relationship with human beings. Now, at the outset, that was usually primarily for the benefit of humans. I mean, animals provided food. Animals provided clothing, skins, wool off of sheep, milk. Oh, and that cheese again. Honey. I mean, you can go and find a wild hive of bees and rob it for its honey. Good luck. But humans came to domesticate bees and profit from that relationship. And then, you know, of all the things that could be mentioned, I mentioned just a few. A dog that could warn you of danger and help you with your hunting. Dogs that developed uncanny skills at herding animals. Very practical benefit. Animals that had, with their sense of smell, the ability to track and locate. And those were mostly the sort of at the beginning of this domestication process, practical things, utilitarian things. As I say, things that led to benefits for human beings. But gradually, and this is still very much continuing, a realization that animals have capacities which have a very strong humanitarian aspect to them as well. I think of, in my childhood, I remember first sort of encountering a seeing eye dog and thinking, how does this work? How does this dog know these things? Can you really, you know, trust that this dog won't walk you out into the middle of traffic? And yes, you could. And it was a relationship, a bonding between someone who was, yes, aided by the capacity of the animal, but between the human and the animal, there was a strong bond. And we see all kinds these days of new developments of service animals in people's lives. Dogs that protect children. Lynn told me a story of one of their dogs who would place himself at the head of the stairs when there were children running around so they wouldn't tumble down the stairs. Just did it. Nobody particularly taught him to. He just saw the need and acted. The dog did. And we're also now discovering things that we can't understand very much about. Medical people are experimenting with dogs that seem to have a capacity to identify diseases. Cancer, sometimes at least, doesn't replace our other medical approaches to things, but it's astounding that there could be anything of this sort even happening. I was just reading of dogs that people had and kept because they had medical conditions that the dog would alert them to, like low blood sugar. Impending seizures. We don't really understand how that works. At least I don't think we do. I don't. And yet, this is part of what has developed in the relationship between humans and animals. And of course, lots of people expressing problems with anxiety and depression find stability or greater stability in their lives through the presence of animals. A wonderful thing. This is all part of God's plan, you know. It's still emerging. We are only little by little discovering all the dimensions of this. But it is part of God's creation. And here we are, the benefactors, but benefactors with responsibilities for that creation as well. Let's pause and just say thank you. Lord, you have done so many amazing things in your creation. You have brought into being things that are so much more complex than we ever realized before. And we are in awe of what you have brought into being. Watch over us, Lord. We need your care. Bless our lives with your presence. Thank you. In Christ's name. You thought I was avoiding pets, huh? Well, we get to them. These are relationships between humans and animals that aren't for practical purposes. Oh, your cat may catch the occasional mouse that you didn't really want to share your house with, but you don't keep your cat most often, unless you're in need of a good barn cat. You don't keep your cat just because it can catch a mouse. There's another bond going on there, which is far deeper and far stronger. And yes, the role of dogs in relationship with people has emerged from just the practical, you know, use it to track down the animal you want to hunt, to living with you in a relationship which has genuine bonds in it. I don't know if these are entirely accurate or up to date, but just to put some perspective to all this, 57% of Canadian households, I read, have pets. I'm not sure where I would have placed that number if you just asked me out of the blue. 57%, they said. And 37% had one or more cats. And 41%, they said, were households with dogs. And over the past decade, it was declared, the numbers of cats and dogs have increased by about 10% as domesticated animals, pets. And that brings us to our own personal experiences. Now, every one of you said you once had a pet. So you can identify with this. We love our pets, even when they're mischievous, and even when they do things we didn't really want them to do. Even though they sometimes frustrate us, even though we maintain them at no little expense to ourselves, they have a role in our world that is not measured by the value of the services they provide, but for the sense of closeness they offer to us. And we are blessed. And it reminds us of the need for us to be compassionate about animals. A whole lot of the pets that we have in these days are animals that have been rescued. Strays, feral animals that have been taken into care. How wonderful. Not a little figure, just to confuse us. I read that in 2018 there were 81,000 cats in Canada in shelters. Some 30,000 dogs. And of course, the objective is to be able to care for them. And not to take the easy solution when it comes to healthy animals. And the bones grow deep, as you know. We ten years ago, when I started to develop a website for the Alberton congregation, I thought, you know, country church needs a pet. And just about that time, Alan Smith, who was in those times more in Alberton than in latter years, Alan had just moved to Kingston. And I learned he had just gotten a new pup. So I thought, there's the ideal solution, you know. If you adopt someone else's animal, you don't have to feed it, you don't have to care for it, you don't have to take it for walks, but you can still have a relationship with this animal even at a distance. And so Alan and Syl had this dog, Paisan. And I wrote to Alan and said, you know, I'm doing this website and I want to have a mascot for it. And you've just gotten a new dog. How about it? And of course, willing response came back. So we developed a little page on the website for our mascot, Paizan. Well, really sad detail is that Paizan's physical journey ended this past Monday. And I never met Paizan for real. I've talked with Alan about him. I've seen lots of pictures of him, and you can see some pictures of Paizan after the service in Johnson Hall. But even at that distance, I felt a certain bonding because I knew of the affection between Alan and Sil and this dog, Paizan. And you see, I have long learned that bonds with animals are no less significant to us than bonds with other human beings. And I know that other people here have recently gone through the pain of the loss of a treasured animal. Mary Wills. Randy Kirby. And all of us who have had pets have gone through it at one time or another. And what it does, of course, is make us understand how close that bond was, and how valued, and how treasured. And let's just say thank you for our pets. Lord, in various times in the course of our lives, you have blessed us with animals who had a special place and relationship with us. We thank you. You know, Lord, how we have valued and treasured that relationship. And so as we remember, and sometimes with the pain of remembering of our loss, and we come to you for comfort, just as we would in any time of sorrow. And yet also, Lord, we ask that day by day you would help us as relationships between pets and people continue, that you would continue to make them a blessing, and that you would accept our thanks. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Parting couple of words. This little time this morning has been a little longer than I thought it would be. Much of it was a significant portion of my preparation time for this service was done with a sleeping cat on my lap. And let's round this off by going back to where we started. The Lord is our shepherd. You know, in modern day terminology, we're God's pets. He cares for us well. So well, in fact, that Jesus used the image of the shepherd to remind his people that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's the quality of care that God has for us in Christ. That's the sacrificial nature of it. And we thank him for his love and care and grace. And we thank him for all the ways in which that has been magnified in our lives through those other relationships he has given us with our fellow human beings and with the animals of his creation. Friends, as it is my custom to say, this is good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.